The engineering committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
This is KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. I'm your host, Della Ray, and our engineer this evening is Liam. Our collective brings you this show every Friday night at 6 p.m., and women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 39 years, making us the longest-running feminist radio show in the country. You can find out more about us at KBOO's website, kboo.fm/breadandroses. And it's really exciting time to be listening to KBOO. We're in the middle of our spring drive, and it's your opportunity to show your appreciation for being able to get news, unfiltered, no commercial programming right here on KBOO 90.7. Tonight, joining us in the studio is Diane Spencer. Her story is, at the age of 72, she was engaged, a mother and school teacher, and she experienced an ischemic stroke. Did I say that right?
Ischemic. I was 42. I look really good for 72.
Did I say 72? 42. And her story is one that I really want to share with you. And full disclosure, I've known Diane for 15 years. And so I was there and I was watching her go through this. And I believe that us talking about everyday people having experience is what brings us together as a people. And so welcome to the studio, Diane.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Do you mind if we just jump right into
Sure.
your story?
Sure, sure.
All right. So you're 42. What was going on in your life before your stroke?
I'm a school teacher, so it was this first week of middle school, and I just woke up in the morning, and I hadn't been feeling well, and I was laying there, and I was like, I don't really want to get up and go to school. I don't want to get ready yet, so I'm going to lay back down. And I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I thought, oh, is that my daughter's hand on me? Like, did she get in bed with me? Mm-hmm. And then I looked down, and it was mine, and I couldn't try to touch it, and I couldn't feel it. I didn't know that it was mine.
But before that, what was your life like? Your school teacher, your garden?
Just living my little life like everybody else, raising a kid, pets, house, you know, working, paying taxes like everybody else.
What were some of the favorite things that you really remember that you loved to do before?
I'm obsessed with my yard. As you know, I'm all about my flowers and my garden, and I spend lots of time with my family and just friends and having people over and working, traveling. Mm-hmm. I thought I was living a pretty ordinary life.
Well, I'm always interested in teachers. How long have you been a teacher?
This is my 20th year. I can't believe it's been that long. It doesn't feel like it.
Oh, man. Well, why'd you choose education?
I always kind of was a little bit interested, but I did think I was going to do international business or something exciting. And then as I started to grow up a little bit, I was like, you know, if you do that, you travel all the time. And I'm from Oregon. I'm from Portland. I have all my friends and family here. And I didn't want to be gone all the time. Mm-hmm. And then my brother used to tell me that I was really good at breaking things down and explaining things. You should be a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I thought, my mom's a teacher. Maybe I should do that. But then I was a sales rep until I was burning to go back for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be one of those teachers that was burned out or not excited to be there. So I waited. I didn't go back to school to start teaching until I was 27 because I wanted to do other things and be sure that that's what I really, really wanted.
What do you love about teaching?
Kids. And then kids.
But this is elementary.
No, middle school.
Middle school.
I love my wacky, kooky little people. So my sixth graders come in and they're 11, mm-hmm. and the eighth graders leave, they're 14. So that's my little bracket.
Wow. And you're a Spanish and a French teacher.
Well, we're not doing French right now, but just Spanish, yeah.
But you were?
Yes.
Okay. And now you're strictly Spanish?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot. That I mean, that's really a lot when you think about it. So you're just living your life. You're hanging out. You're doing this. You're doing what everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly why this story is so important. Your experience. It's not a story. It's a true experience. So let's go back to that when you didn't want to get up, you felt a hand. Take us from there.
So I tried to touch it and see what it was, and it was mine, but I could not feel it. I could not tell that it was mine, and I felt kind of woozy and not sick. I mean, I hadn't been healthy. I hadn't been well, but I didn't know what was going on. I'd been into the doctor a couple of times, and they told me crazy things both times, and it just made me angry that I'd even wasted my time going.
Well, what were they telling you?
Well, the first time, I saw this extremely macho guy who asked me all these questions about my sexual orientation and not so many about my health, and then ended up telling me that I had sciatica. I'm like, buddy, I've had back surgery. I know about back. No, this is not what it is. And I was so mad that I even went. What a waste of time.
And this was before?
Oh, this is like 2 weeks before.
Okay.
Because it turns out I'd been having mini strokes, like who knows how many, half a dozen a day, more.
And
I just didn't know.
Yeah. And so you're there, it's morning?
Yeah.
Okay. And then
actually the morning of 9/11.
Oh.
So I went online and I was reading about, because on 9/11 everybody posts, you know, tributes and memories and things. And, you know, that was such a big event in all of our lives that I was, well, I'll just read those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what happened?
Once I realized that I couldn't feel my hand, I'm like, that's weird. And then I tried to move my arm and it kind of flopped on the bed like a fish, and then it wouldn't move at all. And then I tried to move and I realized I could barely move my whole body. And I just laid there thinking, this can't be good. But it didn't process. It didn't click for me that there was something legitimately going on. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Were you alone?
I was alone, kind of. My partner was already left for work and my daughter was still in bed. And I don't think she'd woken up yet. So I had to call her and, you know, say, honey, can you come here, please?
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't want to scare her because I was starting to get a little freaked out, but I didn't want her to worry because she was only 11, such a tender little baby.
Yes.
And I said, baby, I need you to take my phone here and I need you to call 911 and give them our address. And then I need you to go unlock the front door. And then she did those things and she called my partner, and I could tell that she was looking at me funny, and I didn't realize that I looked bad. But I could tell by the way she was looking at me that she was, you know, starting to get that mommy, what's wrong kind of face.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
She's 11. She calls 911.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you knew? I mean, but what, you know, something, why you just didn't think half your body fell asleep? I mean, how did you know?
I couldn't move, like, hardly at all. Like, I was having trouble moving my head. I couldn't move my legs.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know what it is. It didn't, stroke never crossed my mind.
Okay.
Ever. I was like, this is just so weird, but I'm pretty sure I need help.
And you get to the hospital. Ambulance comes get you.
Oh, that was a whole story. So I had, my daughter was so nervous, and so I could, every time I talked and she would look at me, she was looking more scared. So I was like, she needs a job. She needs to do something. So I'm like, honey, they're going to ask what medications I take. Can you go to the medicine cabinet and bring all of them here, and I'll tell you which ones that I take. And then can you help me put clothes on? Because by the way, I was naked.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And you know, everyone says, well, I don't want to sleep naked because what if there's an emergency? Well, I'm here to tell you that if half your body is paralyzed, you will not care that you are naked.
Right, right. Makes perfect sense to me.
You don't care at all.
Yeah.
Paramedics came in just a couple of minutes. They were super fast and they were so respectful and they were so sweet and they were so kind because they couldn't get the gurney down the hallway to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to carry me out, poor things. And then I remember, like, I didn't lose consciousness, but I have pockets where I can't remember things.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that they were going to carry me out, and I remember that they were putting me in the ambulance, but I don't remember in between, which is kind of strange.
If you're just joining us, Diane Spencer in the studio talking about her experience with having a stroke at the age of 42.
So, yeah, so when they were in the ambulance, I remember they were pulling away. And then by then, my daughter had called my partner, and my partner must have set the land speed record for getting home. So she got to the house, and then they were loading me up in the ambulance, and then they said, follow us, but don't worry, it's okay. And the paramedics called it in, and I could hear him talking back and forth, the driver and the one back with me. I said, tell Kaiser that we're bringing in a stroke. And I remember laying there listening. A stroke? Isn't that what old people have?
Hmm. It is time now that we bring on Lady to talk about KBOO and how important it is and how this is your community station.
Hello, Della. Thank you so much for that introduction. Good evening. You are listening to KBOO. KBOO is radio made by you for all of us. I am Lady, and I'm here with Jenna.
Hello.
And we're here to remind you that your support makes KBOO happen. Help us make our goal of $750 for the show, and I know we can get
we
there.
We actually
with
have $1,000 $1,000 for the show. Because we know
up.
Bread and Roses level listeners
up.
Can do it.
Yes. And we can get there when you call or click with your support, 877-500-5266 right now, or go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button.
Yeah, or remember, you can always come in to KBOO. We always encourage everyone to come in because you're listening to Bread and Roses right now. It's live on the air. Come see how radio is made here. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue there at the corner of 8th and Burnside. And if you come in and you call and you become a member today, don't forget that you'll be entered into our daily prize drawing. And today's drawing is for 2 buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival. So give us a call, 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes. 877-500-5266. Show your support for Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is definitely one of those shows, and when you think of KBOO and, oh, how did I find KBOO? What are one of those shows that I always hear on KBOO? Bread and Roses has been just such a staple here on KBOO, and you know we're in our 50th anniversary, and
right.
When I think of it, I'm just like, KBOO, Bread and Roses.
Yeah, 877-500-5266. Bread and Roses has been, you know, an amplification for women radio activists for over 40 years now. Mm-hmm. And that is 100% in line with KBOO's mission, liberating broadcast through education and access, raising awareness in how media consumption affects our world, us as women. And that's KBOO's impact. That's Bread and Roses' impact. That's Della Ray's impact. With your membership, we can facilitate all that happening. We are building a larger and larger community of activists through this radio program. And we'd like to include you in that community. All you have to do is call or donate online. A $75 contribution will get you this really awesome custom designed t-shirt. Keep Portland Radical. 877-500-5266, or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate.
$75 is a little hefty right now to put down all at once. You can call in and have that split up into $6.25 a month. And remember, it's News and Public Affairs Day, and we have a $3,000 match as a result. So today, when you become a new member of KBOO, or if you increase your monthly donation, your contribution will be matched dollar per dollar for up to $3,000, thanks to amazing KBOO members who donated towards this matching fund to encourage
the
you to...
The perfect time. The
that,
perfect
literally,
time.
Today is
yeah.
the day when you're like, I want my money to go all the way.
Double your dollar.
That is this moment right now. Yeah. Show your support for Bread and Roses. Let's get back to Della.
Thank you, Lady, and thank you, Jenna. You heard it directly for them. Double that dollar. All right. Back to you, Diane. So you're in the ambulance, and you're thinking, there's no way I could be having, or I could have had a stroke. Why?
Well, I just thought that was something that old people have. Mm-hmm. It didn't occur to me that it could happen to you at 42, because I don't have family history. I had low cholesterol. I didn't have any of the warning. I mean, well, I did have warning signs. We didn't understand that that's what they were until later, but I didn't have any of the risk factors.
And what are the risk factors?
High cholesterol, you can have issues with veins, but those usually lead to the bleeding kind, and I had the blood clot kind. Mm-hmm. And even though I do have a blood disorder, I didn't know that it could cause strokes on its own. I thought that that's what we think caused it. Mm-hmm. Was this blood disorder that I have that's super rare and not well understood anyway. So
when we were getting ready for the show, you talked about, you gave a percentage of how many people under the age of 65 that have strokes. What is that?
Well, I think, if I remember correctly, it's like maybe 20%, 30% tops. It's becoming more common because I think more people are having some lifestyle issues that are increasing the odds of them having strokes.
And what would that?
Diabetes is one of them. Diabetes puts you at much higher risk for stroke, and there's a lot more people diabetic now than, I don't know, a generation ago.
And it's an ischemic?
Ischemic, yeah.
Ischemic stroke.
So that means a blood clot.
Yeah.
So it turns out that I have what's called a PFO, which is a heart a hole in the wall of your heart, mm-hmm. that a quarter of the population has it, and most people have it and doesn't affect them at all. And it's the one that closes when you're born, you know, because when you're in utero, it keeps the, you know, it's not going to your lungs. So actually having that hole in my heart could have saved my life, because if I didn't have that hole in my heart and the clot, because my spleen was so full of clots, I was just chunky. I had all kind of tons of them, but it could have gone to my lungs and caused me to have a pulmonary embolism that could have killed me. And so actually it might be that the stroke was the better of the two options. So it means that this blood clot traveled up to my brain, and then it gets to a little blood vessel that's too tight for it, and then it cuts off blood flow.
Okay, so you're at the hospital. I mean, you heard this in yeah. the ambulance. Now you're at the hospital.
Yeah.
And tell us what happens.
So when somebody comes in with a stroke, the whole ER team goes into hyperdrive like in the movies. I mean, it's people are running around, stuff's falling on the ground, like people are like really intense. And so luckily I didn't want to scare anybody. So I was trying to, you know, because I'm all, you know how women do. We got to make everybody comfortable, make yes. everybody feel good.
And you're cracking all kinds of
fun. And yeah. Yeah. Because that's kind of how that was. Mm-hmm. And my neurologist that was asking me all these questions over and over and over, because he was trying to, I didn't understand why he was asking me these same questions different ways and over and over. And I started to get a little gruff with him. And he's like, I have to know when it happened, because I think you're a candidate for this TPA drug. TPA is a clot busting drug. So if they give you that, they say that every 20 minutes that they wait to give you TPA is an hour of rehab. It's brain time. It's brain dying. So they want to get this drug in your body to dissolve the clots so that you can get blood flow going and not lose those brain cells.
And so your doctor was asking you a bunch of different questions yeah. to find out when the stroke happened. So yeah,
because you're only eligible to have it if it's in a certain window. Because if it's bent, I was. Because I reacted really quickly. Turns out it was a great thing that I called the ambulance. If I had waited and not gotten TPA, mm-hmm. my life would be completely different.
And as you're there, and you know, on the outside, you're like wanting to make everybody comfortable. You don't want to cause a scene, and you're like wanting to. What was really going on for you?
It just didn't feel real. Mm-hmm. You know, they're asking me these questions. People are running around. They're talking about, you know, wanting me to sign off on the risks. Because the TPA can cause, you know, really significant bleeding, and brain bleeds are really bad. Mm-hmm. So actually, once they give it to you, they do it in ER.
The drug can cause.
Yes. Because okay. it's busting up the clots. Mm-hmm. And if you have any other things going on that they can't necessarily predict, it can cause really significant bleeding and make everything worse.
They obviously knew about your blood disorder.
Yeah. That's not related.
It's not related.
That's not related. It's more of a structural thing, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do you have vein problems? You know, is it going to, you know, go too far? Is it going to bust open these clots? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really understand how it works. Mm-hmm. But they send you to, ICU.
Okay.
To watch you and just monitor you to make sure that everything's okay. And I had no side effects at all. I was totally fine.
You had no side effects from the
stroke? From the drug.
From the drug.
From the drug.
Okay. At this point, where's your 11-year-old daughter?
So she was, I kind of think, in the hallway with my partner and my parents, because they also called them, and my parents live close to the hospital that I was at, and so the whole family's there, and no one can believe this is happening. I mean, I think everyone was just in shock. You know, it just doesn't seem possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like this healthy 42-year-old person living my life, and then now all of a sudden I'm paralyzed? What?
When did you know you were paralyzed?
It still didn't feel that real. I think it was more once. Because, you know, they're handling you. They're moving you. So you don't necessarily feel like you're the agent of what's happening. Mm-hmm. But then once I was in ICU and I'm laying there and I realized I can't roll over. Like, I can't move my body. I can't sit up. If I sit up, I will fall. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't feel where my body is. And there's a name for that I can't remember. But I didn't have enough awareness. Like, half my body was basically dead. If you drew a line right down the middle, everything on that left side was gone. Like, I had no feeling, no sensation, no control.
And at what point did the doctors tell you that, I mean, confirm that you had a stroke?
Right in the ER, I think. Okay.
Yeah, right when they start talking about the medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I just, it's so interesting to me is that, you know, when people are going through something so huge, you know, where their mind is. And I do want to dig down a little bit more on that for our listening audience, because it is so, you know, like you said, it's uncommon for this to have happened to you at such a young age.
I would have never thought.
You know what? Can you hold that thought?
Sure.
It's time to hear some more wonderful words from Lady and Jenna. All right,
thanks for
That's right. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio. We're in the middle of our spring drive right now, so give us a call, 877-500-5266. I'm Jenna, and I am here with Lady, and we're here to remind you that it is your support that makes KBOO happen. So help us meet our show goal of this hour, which is $1,000, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually a lot when we have lots of people calling in and each making individual contributions. So we can get there if you call or click 877-500-5266, or you can always go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button.
Yep, and it's the perfect time to call or come in or go online and donate, because for today it's News and Public Affairs Day. Mm-hmm. That means for up to $3,000, your contribution is going to be matched. It will have double the impact, double the reach.
Wow.
And that is more than enough to get us to our goal of $1,000 for this episode of Bread and Roses, hosted by Della Ray. And we're talking about some healthcare issues and how they affect women. And we really want to be able to support programming like this to continue to go out onto the air like it has been for the last 40 years. So call toll-free, 877-500-5266. You can go online to kboo.fm, or you can come on down to the station. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Street. It's a Friday afternoon. It's a little slow. I'm sure everybody else is exhausted from cramming and all those activities over the last couple of days, and we're back to Portland rain.
Yeah.
So slow it down. Take a few minutes and come on down to the station. We are taking donations.
We share some coffee. Share some tea. Wave hi to Della while she's in the studio.
Yeah.
Come see what Lady and Jenna look like while we're pitching over here back in Membership
It's
Central.
Not pretty.
You know? And there's all sorts of headphones and notes everywhere, because we have all these notes to remind ourselves to remind you that it is so important to call KBOO, 877-500-5266, and take advantage of that match today. It's only today during News and Public Affairs Day. And it's so important that shows like Bread and Roses happen today, because Bread and Roses is one of those shows that has just been on KBOO for decades. And it's one of those shows that KBOO always makes sure stays on the air, because they're so dedicated to making sure the issues and the discussions that are talked about on Bread and Roses are constantly brought to you. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but every once in a while I get really bold and I change the station on my radio.
Whoa.
And I go to see what else is on, and I don't hear these types of discussions at all. Discussions that are actually in depth and useful.
Yeah.
What? I appreciate how KBOO is so just on the money with that. You can't find other stations. You can tell KBOO when you hear it.
Yeah.
877-500-5266.
And the thing is, like I said, it's a rainy Friday night, and I'm actually kind of grateful for it, because instead of being out and about doing those activities, we've got people inside in their cars listening to the radio. I love connecting with our Portland community neighbors like that. And KBOO, when you can't go outside, KBOO helps you make the most of this city. It's such vibrant programming. Like you said, you can go from program to program without changing the dial and get something new and drastic and artistic every single time. So you're making the most of your radio experience, even when you stay home. Financial support from our listeners as you make that possible. Please join in the community that makes your home so vibrant. Join KBOO. Call in 877-500-5266. Online, kboo.fm. You can click on the word donate.
You know, maybe you can come in at that $75 a year level, which is only $6.25 a month. And if you can come in at that level, then we'll send you one of those Keep Portland Radical t-shirts that's new for this drive. It's really awesome. It really embodies the spirit of KBOO, where KBOO has always tried to be radical. And isn't it amazing that in our modern day and age, in our quote-unquote progressive city, that a show like Bread and Roses is considered so radical? And it's like, hey, let's talk about issues that are important to people. How radical is that? Let's talk about women's health care. And unfortunately, that is still extremely radical. We were just talking about that early today. Yeah. Me and my roommate were just, I was like, what is up with women's healthcare, and why can't we have discussions about it, and why can't we get justice around it?
Yeah.
Because it's silence, but it's not silence here at KBOO. Show your support for that. Show your support for Della and how she's bringing us these discussions. 877-500-5266. You want to hear those phones ring in the background? Get them to ring. 877-500-5266.
You explore radical approaches to problem solving and making sense of this world and making this world a better place with KBOO, with Bread and Roses. And you'll know that your membership helps make this kind of programming possible, yeah, and that you'll inspire others to do the same. We got our phones ringing off the hook back there, guys. Go ahead and join those other community members. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM. Click on the word donate. There is something here that speaks to you, and we want to continue speaking to you. Help us in this work, please.
Remember, just so much, you got to remember that that match is happening today. You call tomorrow, guess what? Your dollar is not being matched. Why would you call tomorrow? You didn't call yesterday because it wasn't being matched. That's why you waited for today until this moment, because you're like, I'm going to be super efficient and I'm going to make sure my dollar goes as far as I can in order to support the community and the discussions that I want. 877-500-5266, or come in line, it'll be matched too. 877-500-5266. Now back to Bread and Roses.
Thank you so much. That was just amazing motivation. You two are awesome. All right, Diane, you're in the hospital. You realize you can't even sit up. What happens next?
I started to get a little bit mouthy, mm-hmm, because inappropriate humor is often how I deal with things. Yes. So when they came in, they at the hospital, you know, they have your little name badge that they put on your wrist, and they have, I had stacks of them. I had a whole bunch. I had, you know, like bleeding risk, and then the nurse came and put one on me that said fall risk, and I'm like, oh sugar, it's not seasonal. I'm always a risk, because it was September, so yes. I thought I was funny.
Yes.
And sometimes I'd have nurses that'd be like, thank you for, you know, because some people are so serious and tragic about everything, and then other people would be like, oh yeah, you got jokes? Yes. You're one of those. Great.
Yes, we need jokes.
So that was absolutely how I had to deal.
Well, you know, I've always said to you that you are posing as a school teacher, but I really think you're a comedian.
And you give me way so much credit.
Oh, because you're funny. All right. So you're at the hospital. You get moved to rehab.
Well, first I was in ICU, and then once they decided I was safe there, then and then they did this cool test where they find out that you have a hole in your heart with this bubble. If you ever get to have that, don't be afraid.
No,
it's
thanks.
It's the coolest thing, where you get to see it on a little monitor. It's very cool. Then I went to the stroke ward, and then a caseworker came by to talk to me about rehab, which is what I want to talk about, like, first off, because the doctor, right off the bat, my neurologist is telling me about, you know, what kind of permanent deficits I'm going to have. And I'm like, no, thank you. By the way, this is not what's going to be what defines me. I decide what defines me. And he's like, well, I don't think you're going to use your hand again. I'm like, you know, really? I might just learn how to knit just to spite you. I am not. Watch me. Yeah. Just stay out of the way.
Yeah.
So then a caseworker came in and said, you know, there's a rehab institute here in Portland that is nationally ranked, and it is unbelievable. And we think that you could be a candidate. So I almost had to audition for it.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that I was a good financial risk. And I was, by then I was on fire. I'm like, really? I'm going to try and move. And then I literally laid there in bed, set my mind to it. And after a couple of days, I think it was like 4 days, I moved my toe. And I'm like, hey, I moved my toe. Can we try walking? And they're like, whoa, slow your roll.
Yeah.
because you can't sit up in a chair yet.
You can't. And then when you were getting ready for this, and then of course from my personal experience with you, you weren't able to feed yourself.
Yeah. No, I couldn't eat or drink because I couldn't swallow.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's weird how strychnos is right down the middle of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems so weird that half of your body wouldn't be working and the other half would.
Mm-hmm.
But that is in fact what happens. So I couldn't have anything. I couldn't have water. Oh my God, I was dying for a glass of water. So I had to drink these super like thick, gross milkshakes, not good milkshakes, gross hospital milkshakes, because I couldn't control my swallowing well enough.
And so talk to us about, you have a stroke on one side and then it affects the other side, which is, it affected your left side.
Yes.
And you're right-handed.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I highly recommend, if you're going to blow out a limb, go with your non-dominant hand.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. I don't plan on blowing out any limbs, but
I don't recommend it.
Yeah. So but let's talk about rehab and what that was like. And, you know, I mean, basically you had to stop everything. I mean, there's no way you were going to.
No, I just had to accept that I'm going to live at the hospital for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't know going in that I would only be a month, because there are a lot of people who spent a lot longer. So it was, you know, my family had to, you know, call work and say, yeah, you're definitely going to need subplants for a while.
Okay.
And, you know, my school, all my coworkers all rallied together and they all covered my classes and wrote subplants and helped kids. And it was hard on kids because kids don't understand. And, well, so few people understand stroke, actually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, their only association is, oh, that's what my grandma died of, because, you know, stroke is the third leading cause of death in women. So most people have their experience with it is super terrible. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for kids. And then also at our school, so this happened in September, and at our school, a teacher had died in the January of that same year. Mm-hmm. So for my eighth graders, they had already lost a teacher last year, and then now they have a teacher that's in the hospital and they don't understand. Like, it was hard on them.
Yeah. And I can imagine that, and hard on you too, because you love teaching. You sit in the best things, your kids, so you missed your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but they all made me awesome cards, and you know, people, my coworkers brought those up to this so I could wallpaper my hospital room with letters and cards for my kids.
Yeah, and I remember you talking about how some of your friends decorated your walker when you got to that point. So you rehab, you started walking. Take us from there.
At rehab, they have you live in the hospital on one floor, and then all the rehab services are on another floor. So it's like a hospital room, except it was bigger and beautiful and had a fabulous view. And every day I used to call it my camp schedule. Mm-hmm. So they give you a list of what your therapies are going to be. So it's, you know, 6-7 hours a day of one-on-one tailored personal therapy, which is amazing. So I had, you know, physical therapy to try and learn how to walk again. I had occupational therapy to try and get my arm, because at that time, I mean, I still had nothing on my arm. I could move my toe, and I was getting stronger with my leg, because if you're weight bearing, then that starts to come back faster. It's your body gets those signals. So when they would stand me up, and I couldn't walk or stand on my own, but just the weight, my own body weight on my leg started to get the nerves to kind of pay attention, and then I started to learn how to walk. But I mean, I needed, like, I had to be held, you know, and then I had one hand on the railing, and then, you know, I couldn't use a walker because the left side didn't work at all.
Did you ever want to give up?
Oh, no.
Never?
I have a kid to raise. I have a life to live. This is not what I signed up for. I'm going for it.
And did you ever feel discouraged?
Because one of the other things that is so terrible about brain injury is the fatigue. Because I couldn't have understood it before it happened to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, remember when the babies were little and they're teething and you haven't slept in days and that feeling? Well, that's the best it's ever going to be. Like, it's a level of fatigue and tired that you just can't even explain. And there were times where I would be so tired that I just did not want to do the session. I definitely did not want to hold ice on my face and hope my face would stop drooping like a, you know, fallen cake.
Well, when you started to feel like exhausted, what was it that just got you up and just said, you know what, I'm gonna keep going here?
I have always been that kind of person where as soon as you tell me I can't do something, then it is the only thing I want to do.
Did you feel like you were being told you can't, or that you were being told that this is a huge challenge and you just got to be patient with yourself?
The doctors were, it was a little bit of both. Some would be like, you know, we don't really know what you can recover, so let's keep trying. And then some people were like, you might need to get okay with not using your hand again. You might need to get okay with, you know, this is all these things changing your life. And I'm like, I accept none of this. I have to accept anything.
How long were you in rehab?
A month.
A month.
Yeah.
And then where did rehab change to?
And then I was still off work and still I had, so like another 3 months where my full-time job was therapy. I mean, I would go to, you know, probably about 5 hours a week of therapy and acupuncture, which I cannot say enough about. Because when I was in rehab, I would ask them, like, well, why are you hooking up TENS units and doing electrical stimulation?
What's a TENS unit?
You know, the little sticky pads that they put on that give you a little electrical current to stimulate the muscle?
Sure.
So they were doing different electrical things, like actually plugged into the wall to try and activate the muscles. Because all I could do is I could raise my shoulder almost an inch. Mm-hmm. And that was all I had on the left side.
And I shouldn't say obviously, but I'm assuming that before you left rehab, you could walk.
Yes.
You didn't leave in a wheelchair.
No, I could walk, but I still, like, my depth perception wasn't great. My balance was a little shaky. And then I would just get nervous, because what I didn't realize, when you're in rehab, everything is made for you. Everybody there is ready for your needs. Mm-hmm. And as soon as, like, I was terrified to go home because it's the real world. And I was terrified to go out. And then for months afterwards, like, we tried to go to IKEA. We tried to go to Costco. And I would have total panic attacks. People would bump into me, and I would bring my cane. Mm-hmm. Not because I needed it, but I needed a visual symbol to other people that I need more time. I need some care. And people don't even look. So I would start to have my partner push me in a wheelchair mm-hmm. because I couldn't cope with all the people and getting bumped.
So with your left eye, was your vision on both eyes, your peripheral vision is the word I want, was that compromised?
It was at the beginning. It took some serious practice to even find the left side, which is hard to explain. Because it's not that it was that I couldn't see it, or it was just that it wasn't there. So, for example, in rehab, there were several times where I would try and I would want to know what time it was, and I would look at the clock. But if it wasn't, if the hands weren't on the right side of the clock, I couldn't find the hands, and I couldn't figure out what time it was. So I would have to, like, talk myself through it. Okay, now the clock has two hands, and you can only see one. What does that mean? Where is the other clock? So I would count, and I would go, okay, four, and then five, and then six, and then what comes after that, and then force myself to try and find seven and try and find the clock, because I just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was there.
And when did you feel more comfortable going out and not having...
Yesterday? No, I mean, it took a while. It took a while.
Yeah.
It took a while, especially because little things that I didn't realize were going on was the first time I tried to buy something. The cashier told me the price, and I understood the numbers, but I couldn't attach meaning to the numbers and the money that was in my wallet. I couldn't figure it out. I had to have help. I mean, it wasn't a big purchase, but I couldn't make sense of what the numbers were to what the thing was. And then I'd have other panicky times, like one time where I had graduated from not sitting in the shower to standing in the shower,
mm-hmm.
and I went to go get out of the shower and had a total freak out panic about getting out by myself because I had been depending so heavily on my partner and she wasn't there. She was outside. And I was just hysterical, like crying in the shower because I was too afraid to get out by
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's absurd.
Is it?
What didn't feel absurd at the time, but looking back, I just can't believe that.
Yeah.
Because now I drive and I do all kinds of things, but right after I felt pretty fragile.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I challenge that you feeling that like that's absurd because it makes perfect sense to me that you, I mean, everything that you went through, that then having these moments where you're like, oh my goodness. When did it get really real for you though? And when I say that, Diane, I mean that you had the stroke, you had the physical things, but when did it really get real that this is my life now? You know what? Before you answer that, I want to send us over to Lady and to Jenna to talk to us about Awesome KBOO.
What?
Good evening. You're listening to KBOO.
KBOO is radio made by you for all of us. I am Lady here with Jenna.
Oh my gosh, having such fun.
Too much fun. But we're also here to remind you that this is very serious business. And your support makes KBOO happen. Help us make our goal of $1,000 for the show. And so far, we got almost $250 thanks to callers who took advantage of that match for new and increased donors. And I want to shout out Marlo from Bothell, Washington,
woo-hoo!
Who is a new member, and they love Bread and Roses. George from Corvallis renewing their membership.
Woo-hoo!
And
we could do some cowbell for that. Why not?
Tim from Albany, Oregon, who contributed an extra gift on top of their normal monthly contribution.
Thank you.
Tim, going above and beyond. Thank you.
This is why we're saying we're having fun back here, because we asked you to ring the phones, and you did. Thank you so much. So you should join the people who made the phones ring before. Now a new batch of you can make the phone ring, 877-500-5266. We're getting closer to that hourly goal. We have a goal of $1,000 and we're about one third of the way there. And we still have 23 minutes or so left in the show. So you can give us a call and take advantage of that $3,000 match for new and increased donors. 877-500-5266. Lady, and I know that you can do it. Give us a call now.
And listen, if supporting a wonderful public affairs radio activist show like Bread and Roses, supporting KBOO, is not enough for you, you can get that sweet t-shirt for a $75 contribution mm-hmm. at Keep Portland Radical. And I also want to mention that if you call in right now, you can become a member and be entered to win a prize, and it's a really good prize today. It's for two buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival, one of the biggest waterfront events of the summer,
mm-hmm.
Portland famous, Call 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes.
So talking more about that match today, you know, it's News and Public Affairs Day here at KBOO, and we always have a News and Public Affairs Day during our membership drive to really showcase all the amazing reporting that gets done here, all the amazing discussions that happen on a daily basis, usually in our morning time, you know, if you tune in there before noon. But today we bring it to you all day, and we have donors who said, yes, today is important. This is so important to showcase what we do, and you're committed to underrepresented views, views that may be challenging and unfamiliar that are necessary to a full examination of the world we live in. And as the world changes, consider becoming a KBOO member. Your membership will be matched dollar for dollar. Today only, though. So 877-500-5266. Show your support for those unchallenged views sometimes that are not put out there, but are challenged very much here on KBOO and discussed.
Bread and Roses is one of those public affairs programming on KBOO that centers on local arts in the Portland area and culture, as well as wider international and national issues for women. And that's part of KBOO culture. That's part of the radio culture. That's what we do more so than any other radio station mm-hmm. in this nation. So your membership serves you and thousands, hundreds of thousands of others with learning, culture, information, and liberated entertainment. KBOO matters to you. Your support matters to KBOO. It takes just a few minutes to join this media revolution. Call toll-free 877-500-5266. Now back to Delray.
You just heard it. You can join the media revolution. I encourage you to do that. All right, Diane, the question was, when did this become real? I mean, really real for you, because your left side still isn't back 100%. When did this become where you said, this is my life now?
I think it was the more I started to try and integrate myself back into my real life and go back to work. Because I was counseled that I needed more time, I needed more rehab. And I said, I don't think there's anything that is gonna be a better learning environment for me than working, because working is a huge part of who I am. And it was really important to me to decide, this is who I am. I am not this person who is crippled by this. I am being a teacher is who I am, it is my identity, and I want it back. But then once I was at school, that's when I realized, wow, you can't remember stuff.
Right.
And I get, when I'm doing things that I've done before, I do great. When it's new things, I have trouble sequencing. Mm-hmm. And I forget things, especially if there's numbers involved. That's why I probably had to ask you four times about what time I was supposed to be here today.
Right.
Because
right.
I just forget the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big adjustment, because I was never an athlete. So the fact that I was physically impaired and I had physical challenges didn't seem like that big a deal to me. But what I have always hung my hat on was being that smart person. I was always the smart girl. So to not be able to find words, I talk slower now. It's a little bit better, but all the different ways intellectually where I feel different, that has been the hardest struggle, because I have not liked that part of it one bit.
How have you felt different intellectually?
I now need time to process things. And I am no longer a good audio processor, because I never had to try that hard at anything. I could always process new information, learn things super quickly. I just did tag stuff all when I was growing up. You know, I did
talented
and gifted stuff. I always did, you know, really, really well on tests. I have graduate degrees. I mean, being, you know, quick spoken, quick on my feet, that's always been my jam. And so having to like slow down and need to rest and take a nap, I mean, I'm that person who wants to leave every party last. I want to do things all day long. So not doing those kind of things and feeling like I get overwhelmed, like at a dinner party when everybody's talking and there's different conversations, I can't track that all. Mm-hmm. And I used to be able to, you know, multi-track and jump in wherever. So it's those intellectual things that make me realize, oh yeah, we are not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so your arm, tell us about where you're at today physically and what you're able to do and what that's like.
So in rehab, I named my left hand Laverne.
Yes.
Because I got tired of saying lefty. So Laverne is kind of lazy. I have very little sensation. So that means that I have to be extra careful at home, like when I'm cooking, because the stovetop and cooktop and the counter are the same color.
Mm.
And to me, anything that's not body temperature feels the same. So whether it's cold or hot, I can't tell the difference. So I have to be careful that I don't burn myself on my left hand.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can't. So, for example, trying to put my hair up on a ponytail, that was a long trick. So I can't negotiate and move my hand very smoothly. Mm-hmm. And the bad thing is that I haven't done rehab on my hand in years. So I just have found all these other adaptive things. And now I'm really fast. I text, I type, I do all these things only right-handed. Mm-hmm. And my left hand mostly just hangs out.
And how did you explain this to your students or and get integrated back with them when you came back with your with Laverne?
So, well, I introduced the kids. I'm like, kids, this is Laverne, kids. And they love that. So they think it's funny, too. So I will, if I'm holding papers, for example, that I'm going to pass out and somebody asks me a question, I stop thinking about holding the papers and I start answering that kid's question. Sometimes I drop them. And I'm always like, Laverne, you had one job. Hold on to that. And the kids just think that's funny.
Yeah.
And then some kids think it's entertaining. They'll come over and they'll ask, can I touch it? Because the blood doesn't circulate the same, so my left hand will be cold and my right hand will be warm. And mm-hmm. they think that's a trip. So I just try and get the kids to talk about it and ask about it. And I show them my droopy face because mm-hmm. I can sort of do it on purpose sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like if you see anybody, if you are adults, like these are the things you look for. And don't worry about being wrong. Call 911. These are the things. Look, check their face. Can they hold both arms up? And so I've taught my kids all the stroke association fast symbols. Like so for face and I can't remember what they stand for. Never mind.
Okay, but they're symbols.
But there's symbols and there's an acronym. I have it on my classroom and I can't think of what it is right now.
Right.
But I just don't want kids to be scared of it. Mm-hmm. So I talk about it very frankly with students. I mean, within reason and is age appropriate and everything.
Sure.
But kids need to know that you can, because I tell them all the time, I'm like, look, I have come back from this. You can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you can overcome things too. This is, it's just practice. We're all going to practice.
And what is, and I don't know if you know the statistics on this or not, but coming back from, or not coming back, but a reoccurring stroke.
Oh, probability? It's really high. Mm-hmm. It's really high. But, and that is, I mean, I try really hard to keep it out of my mind, but I'm terrified it's going to happen again. When we had a water leak in our house and we had to remodel, I designed our kitchen to be ADA compliant. I mean, what if it happens again and I don't learn how to walk? Mm-hmm. I want to stay in my house. I'm in my dream house. I don't want to have to move. Mm-hmm. So I designed it all in the kitchen that we had to redo so that if I were in a wheelchair, I could still use that kitchen.
How's your daughter? How's your family?
So it was really hard on her when I was in rehab because she knew intellectually why I wasn't home, but it still didn't feel good for her. It felt like abandonment for her. Mm-hmm. And I really noticed a huge difference. Actually, my wife is the one who noticed it, that if we didn't make a point to sit down and have family dinner, she was so withdrawn mm-hmm. that she needed regular, she needed routine, she needed old family traditions, like having family dinner. What was the best part of your day? What is the conversation? You know, like those kind of things. She needed those things. And it was really hard. And I didn't know all the things that she needed at the time. I didn't know. Because I was worrying about her, but I just couldn't think about what I could do to help her. I needed other people to help that.
Okay. Yeah, so we just got passed to us the acronyms FACE, facial drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulties, time to call.
There
it is. Yes.
I knew it was fast, yeah. And I was like, I know it's arms, and I couldn't
yeah.
remember.
Yeah, well, great. Well, we have it now.
My daughter, we had a rough time when I was really in that sort of acute recovery phase. Mm-hmm. But since I've been going back to work and we try really hard to keep things normal, keep things regular. And she's actually all through middle school, she was, you know, dealing with all this. And now that she's in high school, somehow in ninth grade, something clicked for her and she decided she wanted to do science. So she's actually been studying the biology of my blood disorder that caused the stroke. And so she's been, and because her birth, I had terrible birth things and that was really tragic. And I'm lucky to be alive. She was actually born by C-section because they thought that I was dying, so they should take the baby while they could.
Okay.
But she's been working on a science project to fix this blood disorder. And in full circle that I appreciate, actually in contact with the hematologist at OHSU in his laboratory that helped work on me when I was pregnant and delivering her.
Wow.
All coming around.
Full circle.
But yeah, so she's come up with this great idea, and she got to go to state last year for the ICEF Science Fair competition. Mm-hmm. And a doctor that came around and was one of the judges said, you need to get with the right people because you could get patented before you graduate from high school. She is on to something.
That is.
And it would be amazing because if she could do this and stop people from having strokes, yeah. That is just a whole lot of lives saved and, you know, money saved and trauma on everyone saved.
For sure. What do you say if we throw it back to our awesome people that are letting us know how valuable KBO?
Let's get some phones ringing.
Yeah, let's get them ringing.
That's right. How valuable KBO is. You know the value of KBO because you're listening to Bread and Roses, and that's the type of programming you want to be hearing. That's why you're tuned in. 877-500-5266. Remember, we're in News and Public Affairs Day, so anybody who calls in today, your dollar is going to be matched. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, not next week, not in 2 days, today. So this is literally the moment to call, 877-500-5266.
And this is going to be our last pitch break. So if you love Bread and Roses, if you listen to Bread and Roses with any regularity, if you've heard Della Rae's interviews in the past and learned and felt impacted by the stories they bring to the airwaves, now is the perfect time to call with your contribution. Not only will it be doubled, like we've already got technically $490 in so far, and we want to be able to double that one more time in this last 6 minutes. So let's get those phones ringing. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM. Click on the word donate.
And maybe you can come in at that $25 a month level. That's $300 a year, but that'll help us get so close to meeting that goal. And if you can, we'll come in and give you that thank you gift of a KBOO hoodie, which is like kind of a prize thing around here. Okay, when you got the hoodie, everyone's like, damn.
You're so slick with that hoodie. When you're like, walking around. You gotta earn that hoodie.
I know, when I walk around Portland with my KBOO hoodie, people always mention it to me like, oh, KBOO, yeah. You know? And Bread and Roses is definitely one of those shows that people mention to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I've been listening to KBOO forever. I've been listening to Bread and Roses forever. Show your support, 877-500-5266. Remember how many different voices, if you've been listening to Bread and Roses like so many people have for decades now, how many different voices Bread and Roses as a collective has brought to you over the decades.
Right.
Brings you so many different perspectives and really makes it important to bring you a vast diversity of perspectives. Delray works so hard on the collective right now, and we've had many people leading the collective, and it's just so awesome when you think about the legacy. 877-500-5266.
I am in this collective, actually. Bread and Roses. Yeah, and that's thanks to Della Rae and their outreach and training and support. And that's the thing, like Bread and Roses is very much at home in KBOO because KBOO encourages local resiliency and it bolsters community organizing. That's why Bread and Roses exists. That's why KBOO exists. And so we're asking you to make KBOO more resilient by becoming a KBOO member right now. Support Bread and Roses. Get that match contribution in while you still can. 877-500-5266. Go online to kboo.fm. Click on the word donate. And with that $75 contribution, you can get that Keep Portland Radical t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
And remember, if you become a member today, of course, you're going to be entered into our daily prize drawing. And today's drawing is for two buddy passes to the Waterfront Blues Festival. Not too bad if you can get those tickets. Call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for the rules and details on all the prizes. And remember, I know I keep saying that today is a $3,000 match that we're trying to take advantage of.
It's important.
Of. And it's, you know, the thing to remember that is that that money doesn't just come from some random corporation or some like super rich person in the sky who's just like, I'm going to grace you with all the money. No, it comes from a group of donors who pull their money together and they say, hey, we're going to challenge the KBOO listeners to match this amount. That's what they're doing. They're challenging you.
Yeah.
So meet that challenge. Don't let them just challenge you openly. Say, I'm going to meet that. 877-500-5266. Take advantage of that today.
That's right. And there's a lot of ways to take in media. I know KBOO has got a couple of different platforms now. There's online listening. There's an app you can download and listen to podcasts of programs. And there's a lot of ways that you can call in and contribute to this amazing radio station as well. Online at kboo.fm. If you have the KBOO app downloaded on your phone and you've got the easy listening, you also got the easy contribution, you can call toll free 877-500-5266 or just come on down. We're right in the neighborhood, 8th and Burnside, 20 Southeast 8th Street. You can't miss us because we've got a giant mural. The most colorful block in this entire neighborhood.
Literally, people stop and look at the building whether or not they pictures, want to. So you might as well stop on in, say hello, have a little tea with us. Because, you know, one thing to really remember when you're listening to Bread and Roses, everybody is a volunteer. All the people that you've heard over the decades of Bread and Roses, every single one of them volunteers their time to bring you the type of interviews, to bring you the type of information that they've been bringing you.
Right.
And, you know, and that's paid for by people like you. It allows our volunteers to come in, use the equipment, do all this stuff. 877-500-5266. And remember that 80% of KBOO's operating budget comes from you.
Right. And if you need to look at the bigger picture, just remember this. The program you're listening to right now is on air because thousands of people started their memberships throughout last year's drives. It adds up. And so look to the future. If you do not want to imagine a future without KBOO, if you do not want to imagine a future without Bread and Roses programming, call 877-500-5266. These airwaves are so important to us all. Please help support KBOO at kboo.fm and click on that word donate. Now we're going to go back to Bread and Roses.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Thank you so much, Lady. What a great, great job you have done talking about the importance of KBOO. Dan, back to you. When we first started talking about the program today, you were saying, my partner, and then that changed to wife. So you got married.
Yeah. Well, I was engaged when it happened.
Right.
And so then we knew that the wedding was going to happen, and we actually got married at our house.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was so great, I mean, and I could see it right, I mean, before I even got to rehab, was like my, and this is not, I'm not slamming men, but my men friends would come in and their face would just crumple, and they would, I mean, they were just horrified to see me like that. And they were kind of paralyzed by that. And then my women friends would come in and be like, huh, well, that sucks. Looks like we're going to have to really roll up our sleeves and figure out a way to deal with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had girlfriends come, like, paint my toes because I like having my nails done. And when we were having our wedding and we decided to get married at our house, it was the same thing. We had pretty much a community work party at our house, spreading bark dust, setting this up, doing this, making this every day all summer long. In fact, our daughter sometimes will say, can we have another event so we can have that? Because that was just, she says, just the most fun summer because we always had all our friends and family and everybody coming over. And that was in rehab. They would tell me like, well, don't you want to walk down the aisle? You don't want a cane. It's not going to go with your dress. So
right. So that was a big motivating factor.
That was a big motivating factor.
There's a couple pieces I really want to get to for our listening audience. When we were getting ready for this interview, you talked about your stroke support group. Please share with us what that is and what it's done for you.
Well, I think that especially if you're a young person that goes through something like this, you really do and can benefit from support because it's sort of like your life is out of order. You know, stroke is one of those things that we think of is going to happen to us when we're older. But if you're trying to raise a little kid and work and your parents are just barely retired and you're thinking about all those places in your life, you need that support. Other people don't understand. And I wouldn't have understood before it happened to me either.
And what is your support group? Is it online?
So it's online. And there's several on Facebook that I participate in. And it's always a good reminder that also that, you know, there's something else you could try to improve your particular journey towards rehab and recovery. And also sometimes, quite frankly, to realize that you don't have it as bad as it could be.
Because the people in your support group are all your age, your younger.
So I'm in a group that's called the Young Stroke Survivors Network.
The Young, okay. Another thing I really want to get out, you talked about a book you read called The Stroke of Insight.
And there are quite a few books, but a lot of them are really either medical based or, I don't know, they don't have a lot to offer, I don't think. They didn't offer a lot to me. But Jill Bolt Taylor wrote a book called Stroke of Insight, where she was actually a brain researcher and activist for NOMI about mental health.
Yeah.
And she had a massive stroke. And so she chronicles sort of her awareness of what was happening to her and being able to call the jingle that she knew that she promoted when it was happening to her.
Okay. Can you believe that we only have 30 seconds?
This has been fast.
What do you want the world to know?
Take nothing for granted and take care of each other.
Mm. That's beautiful. Well, that does it for our show. I need to go ahead and wrap us up here. Our collective brings you this show every Friday night at 6 p.m., and women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 39 years. You can find us on KBOO's website at KBOO FM Bread and Roses. And hey, if you want to know more about my advocacy work, please, I encourage you to visit me, DellaRae.net. Della is with two L's, Ray, R-A-E.net. Thank you so much to our guest, Diane Spencer, for this sharing yourself, such a personal piece of yourself.
Thank you for inviting me.
So much. And, of course, to our amazing engineer, Liam. Thank you so much. Self-care is essential to everything 100% of the time, no exceptions. And until next time, if nothing else, and above all else, choose you.
Rose City Native Radio is looking for folks in the Native community who knew the late, great John Talley, host of Indian World for over 30 years.
My name is John Talley, and I'm the producer of a program called Indian World.
We are currently planning a special to celebrate the 30-plus years of Indigenous programming here on KBOO, and we want to hear your stories of John Talley and programming here at KBOO. If you know anybody in the Native community who would like to tell us a story about John, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com or call 503-231-8032 extension 221 and speak with Aaron.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Noah Halal, a Mediterranean cuisine food cart at the corner of Southwest 10th and Washington Avenue in Portland. Noah Halal serves Greek and Middle Eastern food and are open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Dinner was provided by Holy Mole, serving Mexican Mole pop-up dinners. You can find them by searching Holy Mole PDX on Facebook and Instagram.
For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.